Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined by Buffalo Common Council member Mitchell Nowakowski. Mitch, good morning.
Hey, Beamer, how are you?
Doing all right this morning, Mitch. You know, getting ready for a 4 o'clock Bills game. I think the perfect time for kickoff, if you ask me. This week, learned news that Bray Miller Market will be closing. How did you first find out about this?
So I actually found out about this, unfortunately, through a news tip, and then I had to confirm it through City Hall. And, you know, this, Joe, really comes down to a blow to downtown Buffalo. And I really want to stick up for Stuart in the sense of that, you know, this project has been in the works since 2015, when that was just a vacant lot. That was just cars were being parked on it for the hotel across the street. And so the plans from 2015 to when it was built could drastically change. I mean, we went from, you know, a busy downtown with office workers, and that, you know, the apartment complexes across the street, you know, they went from that they were going to be market rate, then they turned into affordable. And then, you know, Stuart was really the only one that was willing to be a grocer and to stick it out in downtown Buffalo. And so this is really, you know, a sad weekend for the city and for downtown Buffalo.
When is the official closing date of the downtown Bray Miller Market?
I believe it's going to be the middle of next week.
Is there any plan, do you know, of the next step of that building? I know it's still early on, but the next step for that building that's, as you said, right in the middle of downtown?
You know, I know that there's a few things floating around that because Stuart does own the structure. He owns that building. So, you know, it's obviously in his financial interest, too, to have an occupant in that building. And, you know, I think that, you know, when he ran through his numbers and got financing to get the grocery store up and running, he was basing on a business plan pre-COVID when we had 20 to 30,000 people in downtown Buffalo at that time. And, you know, Beamer, I'm not going to give up on downtown. And I mean, I understand I live in a city. I don't live in a village. I don't live in a town. I live in a city where we have strong urban cores. We have density. And, you know, a strong urban core means that the entire city is healthy. So the assessments in the buildings in downtown Buffalo went down 14% in value, meaning that they're paying less in taxes. You know who has to make up that tax base? The neighborhoods do. And so we even see, you know, as the financier, we see our, you know, we see our sales tax come in and we see our sales tax dipping. So if we had a strong urban core where people were going to see shows, they were living down there, they were working down there, they're spending money down there, you know, that goes to the local municipalities to provide services all throughout the city. So strong urban cores are incredibly important. And, you know, I'd kind of get in arguments with some of my friends sometimes who said, well, you know, shouldn't you get people down living down there first before you have a grocery store? It's kind of like the chicken and the egg situation. I mean, to me, I'd rather have, you know, start converting these up downtown office spaces into apartments with a grocery store already there. But the market right now isn't supporting that. And we have to figure out what type of model can be really supportive down there as a grocer, as we really try to look to build up downtown and to really put a heavy residential use down there.
So how many people right now are living in the area that is downtown?
So that's a good question. So from if you look at the census from 2010 to 2020, you see a huge jump. You see a couple thousand more people living in downtown Buffalo, where in 2010 there was completely, there was just none of it. It wasn't really a thing. It was only a few downtown lofts. But you start to see now more condos, you know, getting put on the market, and more people, you know, that 210 Ellicott, you know, was 400 units. So that's, you know, could be roughly 800 more people. So a few thousand people per the United States Census live in downtown Buffalo in its urban core.
You know, I always say you look at downtown now compared to 15 years ago, and there's just so much more going on. And as you said, I mean, there's more opportunities to live downtown. It seems like a lot of the issues of Braemiller were the daytime traffic it was relying on that has not been the same since COVID. Is that number still around 20,000 less people downtown per day since COVID?
Yes, yeah, some people projected to be 30. I'm comfortable with the number of 20 because I do know workers are starting to trickle back. We have large employers like M&T and a few other folks. They're saying, hey, we need, you know, you to come back in a hybrid model. And, you know, some of those downtown coffee shops and restaurants, I go in there and they'll come up to me and the owners will come up to me and they're like, look, if those guys didn't make that decision, we'd be killed because consumerism also changed too, Beamer, after COVID. So I represent Allen and Chippewa and downtown and some of the entertainment districts. And the new generation, at 33, I can't believe I'm calling the younger generation the kids, they don't consume like we do. And so there's no such thing as the bar regular anymore. They prefer to go out to a ticketed event, and they, you know, they don't stay longer. And that really, that change in consumerism really changes nightlife. It changes our sales tax revenue and density. And so instead of looking at these problems like, oh my gosh, they're so complex, I just think that we have to all adapt. And these are things that are happening all throughout the country, is how do we adapt to consumer behavior, to a world post-COVID that really changed our social norms. And that's when people say, oh, you blame everything on COVID. Well, not really. I'm just saying that, you know, post-COVID, our whole social norms completely changed. And those social norms lead to less sales tax revenue, less working, or, you know, more working from home, and really changes the dynamics of.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
How we live now before we did before the pandemic, and as cities and as municipalities, we have to learn to adapt to those changes and see what our new normal looks like.
You know, so Braemiller closing in the middle of the week, but as you said, more people living downtown now than 2010. Have you reached out to these people? Where are they shopping if they're not shopping at Braemiller?
So that's a good question, because, and I'll answer that in two parts. What they're shopping now, since they can't go to Braemiller, which they did, and it was pretty sad that, you know, my colleague Leah Halton Pope and I, she even had to tell one of her constituents, hey, this is closing, while she had a bag full of groceries in her. But most of them are just moving to the Tops on Niagara, or if they do have a vehicle, then they're going to, to a further out Aldi's or Wegmans.
So for now, the building will close in the middle of the week, and it's still the owner of Braemiller owns that building. Will the city be trying to push him to sell that to a grocer, to someone that has a similar business model?
I think that we're looking at all options on the table, you know, because, you know, Stewart still owns the building, so he's going to have to need to derive revenue to pay his mortgage. But the city still needs a public use for it. And, you know, we certainly can't have that building vacant. So I think that a lot of people are starting to look at what other options, you know, could bring vitality to that structure and you know, the surrounding area.
Looking at how this ended today, does it change your thoughts on the loan that was given last March?
You know, no, because when you go in there and you're shaking the hands of 36 employees, that loan kept those people working. And so, you know, they call them the American Rescue Funds, and sometimes I don't know who they rescued, because majority of the money went to fixing, you know, budget holes that we had. But that is the time when you really see that American Rescue Funds actually rescued somebody. It kept workers working, and it kept operations alive. And that was really what those funds were intended to do.
Now, we've had you on to talk about this. We've also had you on to talk about the buildings in the cobblestone area of downtown. Any update on that property as we speak this morning?
So for the cobblestone buildings, in two parts. The first is that the city did go in and stabilize the structure, thanks to Steve Carmina and Woods and for coming down and you know, doing that, executing that plan for us, so that the structure will not only remain safe but intact for the duration of inclement weather that we'll be facing soon. When it comes to court-wise, we are still waiting for the Second Circuit Court of Appeals case to see if they will either hear this case in court or not. And I just wanted to folks to know that it would be very obscure for the court that's the second highest court, one below the United States Supreme Court, to hear this case. And once that's done, then you know, the owner of the building has exhausted all of his legal remedies that he can. And then the building then goes into the city's portfolio through eminent domain.
You move up the street just a little bit, there's the Heritage Point project. We've heard the county comment a lot on this. Has the city had any talks with the developer of the Heritage Point project? And to your knowledge, where does this project stand?
Yeah, ever since the project started stalled, I actually, you know, remained in contact with one of the project managers of the project, and ever since, you know, the summer, and getting the developer and a few other folks together saying, you know, we can kick the can and talk to the news all we want. Guys, what are we doing here? Because that stalled project is really a hamper on Canal Side, and it looks blighted. And, you know, I know that the state and the developer are very close to figure out what exactly that the developer needs to complete the project. Because some people say, well, you could boot them off, you can do this, you could do that. And yes, we could, but how long would it take to get someone new to come in there to develop, you know, that area, especially with, you know, with kind of the looming issues around it, of it not being done and in taking forever. So I know that in a few weeks that I should be hearing soon from the state and from the developer on their plans and how to move forward with this project.
Mitch, I know I said 10 minutes. I promise this is the last question. We are speaking with Jeremy Zellner in the next segment. They had the first of three mayoral forums on Thursday. Are you keeping your eye on that? And when that is completed, will you be endorsing a candidate before the Democratic primary?
So I am a vice chair, one of the vice chairs of the Democratic Party. So we're going to make this decision united. And, you know, we'll be going with who we endorse as collectively as a party. And Beamer, I think it's really important that the party does this. I mean, everybody has a right to run, and this is the first time in 20 years we don't have an incumbent running for mayor. And so, you know, it's important that our Democratic committee members, who are elected committee members throughout the city, hear everyone make their pitch, and we start whittling it down from there. There's, you know, folks that, you know, at the forum were very serious and some that weren't. And, you know, you have to ask the questions first, serious questions first. Can you raise the resources to run for mayor? What is your plan? What's your platform? And that's really the nuts and bolts questions that were asked at the early forum. And we had a really good attendance. I mean, we hit over, you know, basically well over half of our Democratic elected committee members there. And that's what a healthy party does. So there's no, you know, Jeremy Zellner and I are not, you know, in a back room smoking a cigar and making a decision. I mean, this is a lot of people doing their due diligence and being open and honest and transparent and making sure that this is a good process, because you can only make good decisions through a good process.
And we'll be keeping our eyes on it. Mitch Nowakowski, Buffalo Common Council member. Mitch, always great catching up with you. Have a great weekend. Go Bills.
You too, Beamer.
Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough. Just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.